Now, on tonight's show, I'm going to be reviewing an elemental. And if you saw on the website, then I put up the post for tonight, which was the pine elemental. And just as a revision, we have covered various different elements in the past that the founder of the Gnostic school, Samael Onvior, has taught us about and taught us how to experience. And he doesn't give one for every single element that exists, because we would be here for a very long time. But the ones he does, we endeavour to go through on the show. The ones that, you know, could be useful to our listeners. And so it says that each of the pine, and when we say pine, we mean the pine tree, and there's various different species of the pine tree, but just generally speaking, working with the pine. And if you're local, then you may know of Mount Crawford Pine Forest. So I think Kaipo has a lot of pine in there too. And you go in there and you feel the elemental very naturally. And we feel these forces very naturally when we go out into nature. And if we don't have anything that's stimulating us or taking our attention, then we're going to be more conscious of these presences that exist. So each pine has its own elemental. So that's saying each actual physical tree has an elemental. This is because every plant, every tree has a body, a soul and a spirit. Just like every person here, every human being on earth has this. We know every mineral, every vegetable, every animal also has this. And you could even take it further and say that everything that exists has mind. So even a chair or a car, a computer has a mind. It has a force. And I often reflect on this, because each of these each of these inanimate type of objects are made up of lots of different minerals and substances. And so it's just interesting to see these objects that we think of as non-living or inanimate, but to realize that they do, they're full of things that are elementals, you could say, or were elementals. So just something to reflect on there. So I mentioned a bit about the pine when I think I reviewed Capricorn, and possibly in the Christmas reviews of the symbology of Christmas, particularly in regards to the Christmas tree, which is generally a pine tree. So we'll talk a little bit about that in tonight. But to begin with, it said that the role or the function of the elemental of the pine is to do with human reincarnation or return. So we normally, in the Gnostic studies, use the term return, because reincarnation is when one has become a master and is conscious of that they choose consciously to come back into a physical existence, whilst mostly everyone else just comes back because we have karmic debts that need to be paid off, and so we have to come back and to settle the account, you could say, and reach that equilibrium again. So everything has to come back to that equilibrium. Now, it says that the angel who governs the elemental populations of the pine works with human procreation. This angel is entrusted with delivering human souls to their respective environment in each reincarnation in accordance with karmic laws. And a couple of interesting points here. One is that a lot of the elementals we've been reviewing have had a role in reincarnation or helping essences return. So I think it's really quite interesting that role keeps coming up. And the roles of the elements, they're not quite as strict or black and white, you could say, like only the pine or only the peppermint does the is helping essences go from one life to another. The roles that we have in the spiritual world are very much intertwined, so it's good to keep an open understanding of different roles. even for our own being, because our own being has a role, has a ray, as has been talked about previously on the show, and that ray is linked to its, you know, function or role in the internal worlds. But we need to, as Paul said, to see it more globally and not just about our own particular ray and its functions, but yeah, just how it works in an integrated system. I think, yeah, if we label it as something, we can become stricter to that, so not to form restrictive concepts. The other thing I wanted to note is that this plant, the pine, is actually of the ray of Saturn. So it's influenced by Saturn. And it's very interesting because the pine tree, if you look under it, underneath it, nothing grows underneath the pine, which is interesting because it's of the Saturnian influence, which has to do with death and also has to do with testing someone to develop their strengths ideally, or to make them understand their weaknesses, you could say. So this plant is ruled by Saturn. But as I just mentioned, it also has a role in helping essences or human souls to transport or delivering them into their new physical existence. So there again, we find that our concepts of death and of life, they cannot be separated. We need to understand them together integrally, because you can't have one without the other in creation. And so it's just interesting that we see that again as an example in the pine elemental. So just to give some information on plants that are ruled by Saturn or Saturnian plants, they always appear bulky and melancholic. So again, if you go into a pine forest, you feel a bit melancholic. It's not a depressing feeling, but it is a kind of melancholic feeling, and there's no other word that describes it as well. They have grey and black flowers with acidic and often poisonous fruit. Also, the plants of the Saturn elementals can be heavy without flowers. They reproduce themselves without seeds. They are rough and blackish. Their smell is penetrating and their shape is melancholic and sad. The pine and weeping willow are Saturnian trees. The elementals of the Saturnian plants are the gnomes or pygmies, who build their houses under the ground and amongst rocks. They eat, sleep, live and reproduce, just like we do. Their bodies are ethereal and their appearance is like amiable dwarves. And so these elementals, as we know, reside in the fourth dimension, which is not so distant to the three dimensions that we know and accept. The fourth dimension is the next more subtle dimension that exists, and something that a lot of people that are sensitive can perceive the elementals. Some even can see them in a visual sense. So they see their visual representation, whilst others can just feel them. And as mentioned, when we go in nature, we're very much more in touch with those forces than when we are not in nature and not surrounded by that life that exists. Now, Capricorn, well, the perfume of Capricorn is the pine extract. So Capricorn is ruled by Saturn as well. So there's an interesting correlation there. But what's also interesting is that plant of Aquarius is the pine and the cypress. Now, the other interesting thing is that Aquarius' ruling planet used to be Saturn. But since the discovery of Uranus in 1781, this planet, Uranus, was attributed to Aquarius because many facets of the sign were not satisfactorily explained by the influence of Saturn. So it's really interesting here because pine is a Saturnian plant. You can work with the perfume of pine, or when you're in the time of Capricorn, or if you're a native of Capricorn, they say that if you're sick, then burning the perfume of your sign is going to be really helpful for you. And the perfume of, if you're of a different sign, is going to be helpful. But the pine is the tree of Aquarius as well. And obviously there's a special link between Capricorn, Aquarius and Saturn. Or Saturn is not the said ruler of Aquarius. There's still a connection there, which if we like, we can reflect on that in our own time, in our own way. But yes, particularly the pine is a tree of Aquarius and it possesses great magical powers. It's said that every Gnostic must cultivate this tree in their garden. Pine extract cures and purifies the lungs. Pine cones cure influenza. So the Master Samael gives a lot of different health remedies in his works, and he mentions that the pine is good for working with the lungs and if you've got influenza or the cold or the flu. So we'll just take a short music break. So I've chosen a track composed by Mendelssohn. And you're back on the Gnostic Waves. Just a short music break. I've been covering the topic of the pine tree, or more particularly the elemental, the more spiritual aspect of the pine plant. And in the teachings given in respect to this element, it has a lot to do about working on the mind. So I thought I'd go through a bit of that, because a lot of understanding the unknown is about understanding ourselves and what is unknown about ourselves. And the mind in all its various levels and subregions is quite complex, and often we don't really devote much time to see what's going on there and to really observe ourselves, not so much to analyze what we are, but to observe what we are. And that's quite the trick. But in the process of understanding our mind, we want to learn how to use it correctly. And it's suggested that we need to replace the process of reasoning with the beauty of comprehension. And comprehension is so beautiful because it reaches a resolve. When we're trying to reason a problem, we are using a lot of energy, a lot of mental energy. Do I do this or do I do that? You know, going and battling between the opposites. And again, this is using a lot of our mental energy. And then when we use up that center, we drain all the other centers, like our emotional center or even our motor center. And if we keep doing this, we're going to drain all the centers of the body, and then we're going to end up really tired all the time. And then you often have people that have things like chronic fatigue, and they don't, you know, modern science or modern medicine can't really find a cure, because it's more of a like a psycho-emotional type of problem, you could say. But more, and not in every case, but the loss of energy through the mind is something that we can work to reduce. So yeah, reasoning, it turns the mind into a battlefield. Process of option divides the mind into the battle of antithesis. A divided mind does not serve as an instrument of our higher being or higher self. And this is the real key here, is that when our mind is not functioning as well as it could be, A, we're getting drained, and B, we are not using our mind in a way that helps serve or connect with the higher parts of our being. And this is of big concern in these studies, because that's really what we want to know about. We want to know about our own inner divinity. So if we're not using the mind properly, we're not going to know about our divinity. And then we can form skepticism and doubts and disbelief that anything exists beyond, when really it does exist. It's not in our face. Our divinity is not always in our face saying, here, here, look at me, look at me. We need to search for it, and we need to find it, and we need to have less distractions in our lives in order to do so. This is a trick, as I said before. It's easier to perceive the elementals in nature than it is in an office building. But doesn't mean that the elementals don't exist, or that just because we are stuck in an office all day. I mean, we can still connect with those principles being in an office, but obviously it's going to be harder and to be able to do those meditation practices to connect. But yeah, when our mind is not a proper tool, its function isn't being used as well as it could, we're not thinking properly as well. So if you ever notice that sometimes you're thinking a lot and you're rationalizing and reasoning a lot, but you're not really getting much resolve or comprehension. And so, again, it's a waste of thought process when we're not being able to think properly. And then when we are misusing or not knowing how to use the mind, we become enslaved by the events in life. And so then life and its events come and overtake us, and we don't know how to process the events. We don't really know how to deal with all the different demands, mainly because, yeah, we don't know how to use the mind and have order there to be able to deal with life. The Master Samael doesn't really regard rationalists and intellectuals very highly. To be out of balance with the rest of the centres of the human machine is not to use the values of the mind properly. So we might have a very good mind, but if we aren't in balance with the rest of the centres, then it's not really using the mind properly. He does say intellectuals lose the meaning of a sentence simply because a period or comma is missing. The intuitive knows how to read what the master does not write and how to listen to what the master does not say. So again, he's saying that the intellect and the process of reasoning isn't necessarily intelligence. We need to know how to read between the lines, to know how to listen to what is not said, and to form that more of an intuitive type of knowledge. When we are totally enslaved by the senses of life, then our essence or our soul is as helpless as the boat that the wind leads astray upon the waters. So that's pretty much a summary of most people's lives, is that we just go with the flow, and we know life happens to us. We don't make life happen. Not to everyone, but to most of us, we don't feel we have that power or that control to actually do things. Things just happen, so we always become that victim of circumstance. And in this way, our essence or our spiritual principle has little opportunity to self-realize and to go through that process. Yeah, so we need to be aware of that if we want to start this inner work, that we have to make some real radical change within ourselves. The process of options and battling in the mind also gives rise to fear. This is what I observe in myself. So when the mind is not a proper functioning instrument for our being, it then becomes the instrument of the ego. And then the ego gets and uses the mind, and it's all on. It's just projection and projection and projection. So fear, as I mentioned on the show very recently, it likes to project circumstances, and what if I ran out of petrol on the way to work and I'm late and the boss yells, and then I get a warning, and then I might get fired if I've had a few warnings. And you know, so fear is always projecting these types of things. And fear, I find, uses the mind to fulfill itself, you could say, to give and project a lot of what-if scenarios. I think as a form of self-defense or of self-preservation, but really when we get down to the logic of the ego, it's not really all that founded on facts and reality. It's just in fantasy. So the Master Samael says that spiritualistic rationalists are the unhappiest being who exist upon the earth. And I had to laugh. I had to laugh at this because in these teachings, there's so much knowledge and so much information. And if we just take it with the mind, then we can become quite unhappy because it's like we are understanding concepts, but we also are getting trapped by these new concepts. So we've got these new great concepts that we're learning and then we are getting trapped by them as well, and that can make us unhappy. So the mind of spiritualistic rationalists can be crammed with theories and more theories, and then they suffer when they cannot realise anything based on that which they have read. So we all start in the intellectual centre reading different books and information to find the mysteries that we yearn for, that essence yearns for. Then we reach a point when the mind cannot actually take all that information and put it into one formula and say, this is the truth. It's just not possible. Many scientists have tried to make formulas that explain life or the universe. Supreme, ultimate formula, but it's just not possible. Universe and creation is beyond the mind, actually. Beyond the mind as we know it, the materialist mind. We need something of the consciousness to perceive the mysteries. And whilst the mind in its place has a role, it's not going to take us to the complete self-realization and self-liberation that we are after on this path. The reasoning process tears the delicate membranes of the mental body. This is why we need to be careful not to overanalyze and overthink, because we can do some damage. Thought must flow silently and serenely with the sweet flow of thinking. Yeah, so, well, this is tricky. If we're used to thinking as a main point of how we go through life, then it's going to be tricky to let go of the thoughts and to flow with the mind. But in meditation, we learn to do that. We try and quieten the mind, increase the gap between the thoughts, and then we can actually put that into practice. It says that we also need discernment. One must place the reasoning process with the quality of discernment. Discernment is direct perception of the truth without the reasoning process. Discernment is comprehension without the necessity of reasoning. Have you ever noticed that when you have fear that it's really hard to make any decisions? You get stuck. We've lost connection with our own discernment or our own inner knowing. We could call it intuition, but I think it's actually different to intuition. But if that's how we understand discernment is like when we know what we need to do or we discern from one option to the other what's necessary for ourselves, our path, our being. But fear takes that power away from us and doesn't allow us to use our mind properly at all. So we must liberate the mind from all kinds of preconceptions, desires, fears, hatreds, etc. Essentially from the grasp of the ego and how the ego wants to project its thoughts into our mind, the screen of our mind. As we understand the ego in the subconscious, it projects things like fear projects, worst case scenario, and anger projects angry thoughts and, what it will do if a car cuts in front of me and you think, oh, we'll just tailgate that car, so they know that they shouldn't drive, cut us off. It puts ideas into us that really we don't need. And we know they're not true because they go away when we're not angry. We're not always thinking those thoughts unless we're angry all the time, in which case that would be... they would be more present in the mind. But we need to to learn not to allow those thoughts to happen of the ego, and suggested that we need to control the mind by means of willpower. So when the mind besieges us with useless representations, we talk to the mind and say, mental body, take this representation away from me. I do not accept it. You are my slave. I am your master. And then, as by enchantment, the useless representations disappear from our mind. So this is an example of how when we start to see or observe ourselves thinking a certain thought, and it might be a recurring one, then we have to just talk to it in that way. And I know it seems a bit strange and, you know, it's a bit like an affirmation, but we have to use the tools that we can to actually overcome false ways of thinking that cause us pain and problems in our life. We'll go to another short music break. This is a track from the same CD of Mendelssohn and Dante. This one's called. So we'll be back in a short while. And you're back on the Gnostic Waves. I'm talking on the element of the pine tree. And I was speaking before the music break about the need, the necessity to understand the process of the mind and to be able to use it in a proper way. Not to misuse the mind, the values of the mind. And put in another way, or more simply you could say, we need to return to our infancy, to our childlike nature. Now the mind, it said, must become completely infantile. The mind must become a beautiful child. The magic of the pine is completely related to children. Pine is the Christmas tree. We must reconquer our lost infancy. Pine is the tree of Aquarius. Pine is a symbol of the mind of the new age. Now, there's a lot of things that were just mentioned that are worth revising on. So the new age, if you're not aware, is the new age of Aquarius. And in the 1960s or 1962, we started to become under the influence of the energies of the constellation of Aquarius. So pine is the sign of Aquarian thought. And so what is Aquarian thought? Well, essentially it's to become more spiritual, to use the energies of Aquarius to really revolutionize and to break the boundaries and the borders and to really become one, you could say. Using the mind in its proper functioning, returning it to that simple state is part of the process. And I wanted to read something that was written about Aquarius that I thought might be useful. It says that the Aquarian lives in total awareness of the unity and kinship of their fellow men. The consciousness of self in this phase does exist, but it is pushed to the background. And as this is done, the borders are broken down. The blurring of borders, especially in the macrocosmic sense, between energy and matter, spirit and body, is the basic characteristic of our present day. In astrological circles, this is attributed to the new spirit that, under the influence of Aquarius, is poured out over the world and to which everyone must react. So there's lots of really interesting things about this time, and I think a lot of people would or be more open to things of a spiritual nature, maybe not so much of a religious nature. People still have like a great fear of religion and dogma, but I think people are asking or wanting to understand things of a metaphysical nature more so, well, let's hope. And as a result of the new age, the new energies, it can also polarize the other way, where we totally reject spiritual and focus more on the material. And so it's just how we use and process the energies that are there. So hopefully if we are listening to this show and we listen regularly, then we're going to be more interested in trying to elevate our consciousness as much as we can. So yeah, just to summarise, Aquarian thought is enlightened and a more spiritual way of thinking, less materialistic. So to gain that perception or that understanding, then we can work to develop the clairvoyance. And so this is in particular what the pine is going to be able to help us with. And I'm going to read this particular practice, but we won't do this particular practice. I'll leave people to do that in their own time if they like, but I'll read it out. It says, every child is clairvoyant during the first 4 years of life. If we want to awaken to clairvoyance, we must reconquer our lost infancy. The atoms of infancy live submerged in our inner universe, and it is necessary to self-awaken them into new activity. So it's always accessible to us. We just need to regain that state. So when those infantile atoms arise from within the depth of the consciousness, in order to reappear in our secondary and objective system, we then reconquer our lost infancy, and the result is the awakening of clairvoyance. So really we need innocence and sweetness to reconquer our clairvoyance. By means of the verb or the use of mantra, we can make these atoms rise from the depths of our consciousness to the surface. And there is a practice that we can use. We vocalize the words ma ma and pa pa by raising your voice on the first syllable of each word and lowering it on the second syllable of each word. During this practice, the mind must take on a totally infantile attitude. So it's interesting that it uses those words, essentially mama and papa, but the way we pronounce it is raising our voice on the first syllable, mama, papa, and working to regain that childlike state, which we often just think or avoid doing. But really in this work we need to become a lot simpler. And as we get older, life gets more complicated as we feel the weight of the world and responsibility, and a lot of our comprehension and awakening is to realise that life needn't be so heavy. But once we're entrenched, hypnotized by the different egos, then the egos project thoughts and feelings that are heavy, and so we're not going to, or we'll find it difficult to regain that real infant's simplicity that is required in the work. But we try to do that, and meditation definitely helps. So before we go into the practice, which will be a short one, I just wanted to do a bit of a reflection, trying to understand the pine elemental. I think the best way is to go into a pine forest and do the practice and allow the consciousness to understand. But I just wanted to reflect that the pine, associated with Capricorn and Aquarius, and also both of those were ruled by Saturn. Well, Capricorn still is ruled by Saturn. Saturn is responsible for death and tests, but also the pine is responsible for life, helping essences go from one life to another. So that link between death and life is very strong in the pine element. And so if we're familiar with the studies and the three factors, which generally are the death, the birth, and the sacrifice, then we're going to possibly understand the correlation I'm trying to make here, is that these three factors help to awaken our consciousness and are really the whole message of the Gnostic teachings for this new age of Aquarius, is to awaken consciousness by these three means, but to keep it as simple as possible, to work with the things that we can in a way that we can. Not overanalyzing, as mentioned before, to try and have comprehension over reasoning and analyzing is the main thing, and to keep things simple, keep the mind simple and childlike if possible. Okay, now I will speak less and we will do a short meditation practice. Getting ourselves ready as we normally do. Getting the body ready. Getting the emotions ready. And trying to bring the mind to a point of concentration. In this very short practice, we're going to work with the teaching of using the willpower. We want to reflect or observe a particular ego and how it projects thoughts into our mind. Powerful thoughts that we know aren't true, but yet we still think them and believe them. We want to work on the one that gives us the most problems. If we have great fears, what are the thoughts we think when we feel fear? If fear is stopping us from doing something, what is its reasoning? What is it trying to protect? And do we really need that form of protection? When we feel anger, what is it that we're thinking? Do we feel powerless? Do we think that we are powerless? If we need to do something, do an assignment or do some housework, we're feeling lazy, what is it that is What is it that's keeping us trapped or keeping us procrastinating? And we can, when we isolate this thought, we can say, mental body, take this representation away from me. I do not accept it. Take this representation away from me. I do not accept it. You are my slave, I am your master. We could say something like, I am not these thoughts. I am not these thoughts of fear or of anger or of laziness. This way we form some separation. We don't become identified with these thoughts. We can relax the mind, allow it to fulfill its proper function.